Good morning. Welcome to the episode of Hard Foul. Hope you guys are enjoying your Friday, however you are listening, whether on YouTube, SoundCloud, or iTunes. Hope you're getting ready to have a good weekend. I know I am. Free drinks for everyone. Well, I'd like free drinks. So, we're going to get straight into it. Normally, I always say, well, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to get straight into it because there's something that needs to be talked about. And it's unfortunate that it needs to be talked about. O.J. Simpson has his parole set for July 20th. And he can get out. His case, or his sentence, was from 9 to 33 years based on behavior and all the other stuff that goes on. I literally don't even know anymore what justifies good behavior. I'm pretty sure it's saying please, thank you, and not kicking, you know, the security guard in the face, in the kneecap. Like, O.J. Simpson, unfortunately, is becoming the most talked about and the most, I don't even know which word you use. There's like the notorious, infamous, just, he's becoming the most, he will go down as the most remembered athlete, former athlete of all time. And I say that because of this reason. I was talking with two, I'll call them elderly people. They were elderly to me. They're in their 40s. And they were talking about the special they watched on ESPN, and it showcased OJ, the football player at USC, going in the NFL, going into the Hall of Fame, and then obviously the infamous Bronco chase and what has transpired in his life since then. OJ Simpson is one of the, I would personally give him three greatest running backs of all time. There's Jim Brown, Walter Payton, then there's O.J. Simpson. My issue with it, though, is we don't talk about Walter Payton. And we only really talk about Jim Brown once a year. And that's during the Hall of Fame game because he stayed involved with the NFL and other social activity that he's done. O.J. Simpson gets brought up all the time. There is movies made about him in this case. There are specials on TV. There are specials on ESPN. I mean, 30 for 30, which is one of the things that I really like about ESPN. They do a great job. They have like three different 30 for 30 specials and or segments just for O.J. Simpson. You're lucky if you get one 30 for 30 made about you. Larry Bird and Magic Johnson just got one a few weeks ago. They're two of the three or four greatest basketball players of all time. They just finally got one. O.J. Simpson has three. Let's think about this for a second. June 12th, 1994 was the murder. I don't have all the dates, but the dates that I specifically wanted was that June 12th one, and then October 2nd, 1995 is when he was set free. He was acquitted of the murder charges. They couldn't put it on him. They say, you know what? You're free to go. We, quote unquote, don't have enough evidence. Wow. I'm not here to make a moral stand or to say my own personal view on what he did. Like, obviously it's wrong, but that's not the point of this. My issue is with how, for lack of a better term, I guess, is how iconic this has become, when iconic should not be the word it is. I'm going to kind of sound like I'm rambling here, but that's because I want to, before I make my final verdict, my closing statement on this, I want to put out all the information that I've got the last couple of days looking into this. Yeah, we do research on this show. Michael Vick, as a comparison to O.J. Simpson, did something that had more total damage, a realistic, longer lasting effect. I believe I said that right. And something that was just, you ask more, most people probably think it's worse when you kick the puppy than when you kick the person. Not that either are right, but kicking the puppy is a more sad imagery in people's minds and in our view, because, you know, unless it's a movie, we value the puppy over the person. In a movie, then it's just balls to the walls, you know. We can have as much violence as you want on non-people. Then you get people involved, and it's kind of like, no, Luke, don't do it. They're kids. So, Michael Vick has done something that is arguably worse, more terrible, whatever bad word you want to use. And it's a situation that's not talked about 10 years after the fact. He's been more or less forgiven by society standards 10 years after the fact. He's just not looked at as, oh yeah, Michael Vick the doggy killer. Some people, you know, especially PETA, they'll never forgive him, but he is not viewed or villainized in the same way or talked about the same way OJ is. Here's why I have an issue with that. Not to justify what's lives or whose lives or whatever matters more. It's the fact of, I love sports. I love talking about sports. And gosh damn it, O.J. Simpson should not be the most talked about thing from sports. He just shouldn't. That is like, right or wrong. It is right or wrong. The villain should never be the most remembered thing. But that's what we do. You know, you ask, there's an entire week in school dedicated to the Holocaust. Not saying right or wrong. Not saying it shouldn't be or should be. But it's the fact of, we're set up to remember the villain. What's the phrase? Those who don't remember their history are doomed to repeat it. I get that. But why is it we only look at the bad guys? There are things that OJ did on the football field that were fantastic. I mean, the man was, as far as a football player, was an absolute stud, a beast. As far as a football player, has every right to be in the Hall of Fame. Which, speaking on the Hall of Fame, this is why, quick note, it's why I hate the argument that, oh, well, the Hall of Fame is supposed to tell a story, because OJ Simpson's story has almost nothing to do with football. So that argument, fart on that argument. You take guys who are, for lack of just, we'll just call them evil. When you're willing to do that, or, I'm sorry, there is no official proof that he did that. My apologies. Let me not start making decisions here that's judicially involved. For someone who's got the heart or lack thereof to be part of that, to mastermind that, to pull the trigger, or I guess in this case, the knife, to do anything of the sorts. And take him and make him the main talking point, where he is literally going to be a talking point on ESPN, FS1. He's a talking point 20 years from the incident. He is a talking point. He's going to be a talking point 30 years from the incident, 40 years from the incident. We're not talking about Walter Payton and his short-lived life, all the things he was able to accomplish. We're not talking about, outside of, like I said, the once year with Jim Brown, all the great things he was able to accomplish on and off the field. We'll stay with just off the field here. That's what we're talking about. But we still talk about OJ. he's getting into the category of, you will see him in history class someday. You will absolutely see this man, because he fits every single criteria of who we talk about, why we talk about, and when we talk about. Like I said, we love to focus on, you know, like I said, the Holocaust gets a week. If I'm remembering correctly, Gandhi gets like a day, maybe two. You get brought back up on a test like a week later. Martin Luther King gets like a day or two. Gets brought back up on a test a week later. I'm not a history major. He's behind the camera. There's guys that, you know, do truly great things, fantastic things, and they're brought up a week later. Not OJ. OJ is, he's there day one, day two, day three, brought back up a week later for a day or two, brought back up the next week, brought back up years from now. Jerry Rice is the greatest football player of all time. Gets brought up maybe like once a year. Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Babe Ruth, some of the greatest baseball players of all time, get brought up once a year. Michael Jordan, if he was not an owner and not the shoe brand that he was, would be brought up once a year. Excuse me, would be brought up once a year. O.J. Simpson is brought up repeatedly, continuously, and will stay that way. I don't have stats to support my argument. I don't have a bunch of numbers to throw at you. I've simply got how I feel about it, and it just feels wrong. Do you need to know what happened? Should you be informed? 100%. But Hitler shouldn't be our main topic of conversation every single time. And that's exactly what OJ's become. He is Hitler of the sports world. Now, there's a funny joke, and my friends and I talk about it, is you can bring up Hitler in almost every conversation. You really can. Like, that is the point he's gotten to, right or wrong. You could literally make a connection to almost anything to him. And you're going to start having that same deal with OJ if you get in enough sports conversations in your life. Like I said, I had a conversation with two 40-year-olds about him. I had a conversation with my roommate before this video earlier today about him. I've had a conversation with my grandmother just 3 or 4 days ago about him. I remember watching the special myself about 2 weeks ago. He should not be coming up this much. But he is. It's one of the few things, you know, I know athletes aren't perfect. And there's very few things that they do that legitimately make me mad or legitimately make me feel some kind of way. You know, I get it. These guys aren't perfect. A lot of them are 20 to 25 years old with way more money than they've ever had in their life, influences that they've never had in their life because they now have that money. And they do stuff that you just don't want to know. I don't want to know what half the guys who I root for on the basketball court, football field, what they do on a Saturday night. I really don't want to know, especially if I'm a kid or if I have kids and I'm like, hey, this guy's really cool. You know, we do a lot of idolization in sports. It's like, hey, let's go watch Derek Jeter. Oh, hey, let's go. You know, you always heard about your dad's favorite baseball player, your dad's favorite basketball player. And like that guy, I mean, he could walk on water for all intents and purposes. You start to take a guy who's despicable. You start to take a guy who is just, I think if you're just as a human, like someone who's just gross. I think that's the word I'm going to use for him. It's just a gross human being. We don't talk about Michael Vick anymore. Why are we still on OJ? We don't talk about other terrible people in history, but we still talk about Hitler. Let's change that topic point, please. Deep breaths. Had to get that off my chest. like I said, it's one of those things. It just truly bugs me. It's not, when I said I was just talking to roommates, it's like, you can have conversations about guys where it's like, oh, well, who was better? And I can just throw 30 points a game at you versus 20 points a game. You can say, well, 30 points a game guy is better. Obviously, he scored more points. You could have a conversation. Who's more successful? Guy made $10 million. Guy made $1 million. $10 million more successful. Then you get into the conversations that are, they're not stat based. They're not alter based. They are, inside joke. They are simply thought based and emotional based. And like I said on Wednesday, there's things you get to do when you have this kind of platform, when you work on this kind of platform, and you simply start the conversation. So I'm asking, let's just end the conversation on him. Starting now. So a lot, and I mean a lot, happened in between Wednesday when I uploaded in the morning, Thursday, and then now. I was half tempted to do like a quick, oh, let me get on and make this quick 5-6 minute video reacting to a lot of things, some of the things that have happened, because a lot just happened. Apparently, someone was like, hey, NBA headline button, and they just pushed it, and they kept pushing it, and they're like, what other stories can we get out of this? Excuse me. So we're going to do, it would normally be a week that was recap, but we're going to do the 48 hours it was recap, because, oh my gosh. Starting with first, Phil Jackson got fired by the Knicks. How do I feel? I don't think I honestly care. I think Phil Jackson was in a position where he was kind of just going through the motions. It really doesn't hurt his legacy, because his legacy is as a coach. He can always say, you know what? I got you Porzingis. I got you Hernan Gomez. And, excuse me. And I got you, if you want to call it such, cap flexibility in my 3 years. And I theoretically was able to get you guys like Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah, who might not have gone there for other reasons if my name was not attached to the franchise. Did it get them the megastar that they wanted? No. But I don't think Phil honestly cared. Like I said, his legacy is going to be remembered as an 11-time champion. If you didn't like Phil Jackson because, oh, well, he got to play with Jordan, Kobe, and Shaq, well, then you were never going to like Phil Jackson. And that's just him being executive, good or bad, was never going to change that. Just wasn't. Second thing, going from bad executive to good executive, the Chris Paul trade. Obviously, I had to talk about this. You guys have heard me talk about Chris Paul on multiple accounts on the podcast, on my channel. My favorite player, current player, second favorite player all time, only to Kobe. Going to the Houston Rockets. I thought about this. This is one of the first, like, I had heard talks that, you know, the Rockets are trying to acquire a star to put alongside James Harden. But it was one of those things, I really didn't believe it until it happened. And it genuinely shocked me, which was nice, because I don't get genuinely shocked by a lot of sports events anymore. This one genuinely shocked me. And you always have to ask yourself, whenever there's a trade, you have the initial questions that race to your head. Well, does it fit? Was it a good trade? Who did they have to give up? You know, do I think Chris Paul and James Harden can play together? 100%. And I'll get to that in a second. Did they have to give up too much? I really don't think so. They gave up Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, and a first-round draft pick. I don't care about the first-round draft pick. I like Patrick Beverley as a player. He's not Chris Paul. And Sam Decker, I quite honestly forgot was in the NBA. So, with that, didn't have to give up too much. Not a bad trade for them. And, yeah, you get Chris Paul, James Harden on the same team. I listened, watched, heard all these people talk about, well, how do they fit? Can they play together? Chris likes to dominate the ball. James likes to dominate the ball. He just spent this last season being second to Westbrook in terms of time actually having the ball. It's all good and dandy, and that's all stuff that, you know, I think it's kind of cliche sports talk, if I have to be sincere. What I think it truly proves with the Chris Paul, James Harden talk is, yes, I think they can play together, but I think this is Harden's third attempt at trying to be MVP. Let me do a little thought exercise for you here real quick. James Harden in his first year in Houston was second in the MVP voting. To who? Kevin Durant. And what was he? He was second to Steph Curry. I apologize. And why was he second? What was the big thing around Steph Curry back then when he won MVP? Well, Steph had more wins. His team had more wins. They won 67 games that year. Of course he should have been MVP. Wins matter. That was the Golden State campaign. And James Harden was like, I had the monster numbers, but I didn't have the wins. Okay. Steph, you get that MVP. What happened this year? Harden gets the wins. His only real MVP candidate being Russell Westbrook. He was going to have more wins than him. Wins matter. Right? James Harden's thinking, I got this in the bag. I got more wins than this guy. And I got numbers. And I'm passing the ball now. Like, yeah, you know, I turn the ball over every other possession. But who really looks at that? Westbrook turns the ball over too. I'm not averaging a triple-double, but I got more wins. Wins matter. That's what I got told, but I didn't get it 2 years ago. Who got the MVP? Russell Westbrook, because he had the monster numbers. If you're James Harden, you're probably thinking, damn, what does it take? I have the monster numbers. I get told you need wins. I have the wins. I get told you need the monster numbers. So what's phase three? Well, if Father LeBron has taught us anything, you bring in a superstar. What else? How else are you supposed to win in this league? You just call up your friend and go, hey, dude, you know, I know we're both making max money and this would be a real shitty thing to the other 28 teams of the league, but you want to join forces? Well, of course, dude. Who needs competition? I think Chris Paul is a hell of a competitor. Let me state that really quick. But now you had the superstar. LeBron won an MVP in Miami, and he had Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh there. In his mind, if he gets to be more efficient, play with a superstar, you get the self-aware. He's thinking, I gotta get MVP this time, because if I can't, then the NBA's just rigged and they don't like me. I wouldn't disagree with him. Like I'd said in the previous video, Kobe only got one MVP. He got robbed 3 or 4 times. Kobe lost the MVP to Steve Nash, averaged 15 and 11. Kobe Bryant averaged 35, 7 and 6. Tell me. But then again, wins mattered. You know, except when they don't. Fuck sports writers. Just to get that note out there. Yeah. Going from transitioning, James Harden, how else do you get the MVP? Well, you get another player. You get Paul George on a one-year deal. Why not? You got Chris Paul on a one-year deal. You got Paul George on a one-year deal. You can get both of their exclusive rights to give them the Supermax deal if it works out this year. I talked about on Wednesday, Paul George, he can't stop Kevin Durant, so I don't like the idea of Cleveland getting him to match up with Kevin Durant because he doesn't. I do really like the idea of Houston getting Paul George. I think if for nothing else, I think you create the most exciting team in the league if you have Chris Paul, James Harden, Paul George, Ryan Anderson, and I don't care who the hell plays the five, which seems to be the analysis for like 27, 28 teams. It really doesn't matter who plays the five. We have like three legitimate big men who matter. And one's played Nikola Jokic, if I'm saying that correctly. I'm probably mispronouncing it. I always struggle with foreign players' names. he probably is like the third or fourth most important center in the game, and he played like 40 games last year and then snapped his fibula. Which, prayers to the man, because I've only ever had one leg injury in my life, and it was terrible. So to have my whole fibula snap makes me cry thinking about it. Only issue with Paul George going to the Rockets is as exciting and as talented, and I think that team wins 64-65 games, and I think they're the number two seed in the West. I think they're great. I still think they don't have a chance in hell against the Warriors. The Warriors have absolutely ruined the perspective of, like, there is not enough, because they just have so much that teams are really trying to sign Andre Iguodala to lessen the Warriors. Like, that's going to actually make it. Andre Iguodala averaged 6 points a game this last year and had two games in the playoffs that were meaningful, but we're going to take him away, and that's going to weaken them. All right. What else happened these last crazy 48 hours? This is a hell of a day, you guys. We had Magic. Oh, this was on Tuesday, if I'm correct. LeVar went on WWE and did some, I've never understood wrestling or the whole psych show they do beforehand. But he went on there and he yelled at some wrestling guy. He was, I do think his line's kind of funny. You know, there's only two people better than me, and I'm both of them. I like that. But then the introductory press conference, Magic was like, Lonzo, you are the new face of the Lakers. He went and he pointed. He's like, you see those jersey in the rafters? Those are going to be you one day. You're that great. Bro, slow the fuck down. Most kids at 19 years old can't handle their parents' expectations of just going through community college. You just told this man he's the face of the Los Angeles Lakers and he one day will be in the Hall of Fame. I don't care how much hype and how much his dad's told him you are the second coming of Jesus because I am God himself. Like, you don't say that to a 19-year-old. Magic, you need to slow the F down there for a second, bud. And I hate being called bud. I apologize. That's a different story, too. One day I'll do a podcast, and like at the weekend, I'll just vent about all the things that drive me crazy in my personal life.
Don't call me bud.
Getting called bud drives me up a fucking wall. Well, there goes my pen. Finally, the Celtics. Who are sources close to the Celtics? I really would love to know, because they seem to tell you, sources close to the Celtics say the Bulls are asking too much for Jimmy Butler. Sources close to the Celtics saying Pacers asking too much for Paul George. Sources close to the Celtics say, well, you know, we would give up a draft pick, but that's actually asking for something. We just like to get free stuff. What do you mean we have to spend money to get something? I don't like that idea. Like, they lose out on Jimmy Butler. They're probably not going to get Paul George. I'm not as high on Gordon Hayward as everyone else is. I don't get why people acting like, oh, if the Celtics get Gordon Hayward, they're going to be, what are they going to be, the number two seed in the East? They were the number one seed last year and didn't do shit with it. Like, you can stockpile draft picks and you can wait for LeBron to just grow old. But how do you just, as a fan, how are you supposed to just sit there and sell your fan base on, don't worry, guys, we'll be the second best team in the East in 2022. Like, you can be bad as a sports team, but don't be boring. Like, there's a bunch of bad teams who have some exciting things about them. There's some boring teams that are good. The style of play is really boring, not that exciting to watch, but they're a good team. Then there's teams that are bad and boring, and that's the Orlando Magic. And then there's the Celtics, which is like, they're not bad, but they're just boring and frustrating. Like, if you're a Celtics fan, like, what do you have to hope that, like, they don't have a good track record of these players turning out to be all-stars or better than? They just keep getting them. It's kind of like it's like the joke, you know, when they say, oh, well, I got socks for Christmas. That's all the Celtics are doing to their fans. They just keep getting them socks. And every year they keep opening their box and going, well, I hope it's not. Oh, no, it's still socks. That's all you're doing. You're giving socks. And some year, they're not even new socks. Hope you guys enjoyed. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Please continue. I love the support. Subscribe, YouTube, iTunes, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, Hard Foul Podcast. And I will see you guys on Monday. Have a great weekend.